1 Samuel chapter 3. Follow with me in your hearts. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. And then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Father, we thank you for all that you've said and ministered to us already this morning. And we pray with our hearts open that you would minister. Thank you for this opportunity once again to have your word open, to be gathered with your people, and bless it to our hearts and lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's be seated together. In chapter 2 of Samuel, we see this young boy now dedicated to the priesthood. He is being raised up for the hour to become a prophet of the Lord. And of course, he's with the oversight of Eli, the high priest. His parents, of course, Elkanah and Hannah, would continue to pray for him and keep him in their hearts. They would visit at least once a year, maybe more with the other feasts, and they would have a continued influence in his life also. But we see him being focused, serving the Lord. If we just refresh our memory for a moment, we remember back in chapter 2, verse 11, the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. And these phrases are often back to back with what was happening with the sons of Eli, who were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. You remember? They were violating the laws of the priesthood. They were exploiting the people. They were causing Israel to disregard the sacrificial system. What they were doing was having a great effect, a negative effect on God's people. They did that in Shiloh, it says, to all the Israelites who came there. Therefore, verse 17, the sin of the young men, the sons of Eli, were very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They caused Israel to blaspheme, to disregard the sacrifices, and there we have it back to back again. But, in contrast, Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child. And the years would begin to roll on. We read in that passage also that his mother would come year by year making a robe for him when they would offer the sacrifices. So we can see the years passing. He's growing physically and he's also growing spiritually with his heart being prepared before the Lord. We know that the Lord visited Hannah. She conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Again, the years are passing. Hannah is having more children. And again, we see, meanwhile, this child Samuel grew before the Lord. Eli, at this point, is very old. He was hearing what had happened and what was happening with his sons. And he was grieved in his heart, but he knew that judgment was coming. And yet he still did not act. And perhaps Eli was a man with a great heart and a great love, a man of great grace. You perhaps might enjoy being with him, I don't know. But he had sentimentality. And he did not follow through with conviction and did not restrain his sons. And here we have another contrasting verse. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. Then we remember that God sends a prophet to Eli, telling him that judgment is coming. We read that in verse 31. The days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, that there will not be an old man in your house. And this would happen some generations later. And this will be a sign for you that will come upon your 2 sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they will die, both of them together. So Eli has been told, Eli now as an old man, having seen the practices of his sons and the effect that it has had, he knows that judgment is coming, and here he is clearly told that that is the case. And that's the background for us now as we go to chapter 3. hear a familiar phrase again. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. The boy here word, the word here is often used in other places. It's used to speak of David as a youth when he was a young teenager. So it seems that by now Samuel is a young teenager in this passage. Josephus wrote that he was about 12 years old at this point. We can see double honor in his heart. He ministered to the Lord and before Eli. And notice this important phrase, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. In what days? In these dark days of apostasy in the history of Israel, it says the word of the Lord was rare. And it means to be scarce. It means that it was infrequent. It means that the voice of God was for some becoming like a memory and not a present experience. It had become like a tradition. It was not then being experienced in the present hour. And it says that there was no widespread revelation. Special revelations from God were not common, were not widespread. But now we are just about to see the Lord is going to speak directly and personally to Samuel for the first time as he calls him personally. And Samuel will be like a white rose growing up in the desert in this time for this appointed hour. Usually God would speak to and through a prophet by visions or by the word. It says in Numbers 12:6, God says, "If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream or by word." That God would speak directly to the prophet, and then the prophet as a messenger would speak to the people. So it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. So we know that he is a heavy man, he is an old man, and now his eyes are getting dim. And we can see, not only we get the physical sense, but also the spiritual sense. Perhaps he's losing the edge. We can see there's a transition that's about to take place. His eyes are dim. We pray that as we get older, though our physical health may fail us in some measure, we pray that our eyes don't become dim in terms of discernment and freshness with the Lord. I don't want to grow into an old grumpy Christian, do you? I want to stay fresh with the Lord and have grace for people and have an anointing. I don't want to be laying down the law, but I want to be a minister of love and grace to people, of course, with conviction, but with grace. Verse 3, "And the lamp of God went out, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle," this is giving us a timestamp, "in the night where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel." Wow, this is an incredible moment, a turning point here in Samuel's life and what would be for all of Israel. "And Samuel answered, and he said, 'Here I am.'" This is the first revelation of God to Samuel. This is when the word of the Lord is rare in those days, but it's about to change, that God is raising up a prophet that he will be speaking to, who will be bringing God's word to the nations. There's an important principle here we could mention, that when priests are faithless, when people are careless, where there is compromise and sin, where the word is neglected, God will not be speaking very frequently. We could say the word of the Lord would be rare in such cases. But where people are ministering in God's house, where people are listening, where they are drawing near in faith and they respond to God, they say, "Oh Lord, speak, Lord." They come with a hungry, expectant heart. God meets us there. God is ready to minister, to speak, to reveal, and to guide. Perhaps you've met a Christian who said to you, "It seems like God does not speak to me, that God is not present in my life. I don't sense that guidance." And you might say, "Well, are you in the Word? Are you in the house of the Lord? Are you with the people of God? Is that a conviction that you have in your life, that you need the Word, you need the people of God, and you draw near?" Well, no. Well, then the Word of the Lord will be rare in your life. You won't sense his guidance. You won't sense that strong sense of his presence and direction and his voice in your life. For Samuel, particularly as a prophet, and this is, of course, distinct and a clear, audible, personal voice for the prophet. This is his calling as a prophet. And we see this with many of the prophets. For example, listen to this in Jeremiah 1:4. Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.' And then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, but I am but a youth.' And the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am a youth. But you shall go to all whom I will send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces.'" Oh, that verse ministers to me as a preacher. "Do not be afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth," Jeremiah said. "And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" Haggai 1:1, "In the second year of Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month," there's a timestamp right there. It was a significant moment. Haggai says, "The word of the Lord came by Haggai to the prophet," Haggai the prophet, "to Zerubbabel, to the governor, to Joshua, the high priest, saying, 'Thus says the Lord.'" And then he speaks. Or Moses at the burning bush, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." That's like what's happening with Samuel right now, isn't it? And God said to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I've heard their cry. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Amazing. Ezekiel chapter 2. One more will do. As many of the prophets have this similar description. "He said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you.' And then the Spirit entered me," Ezekiel says, "when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They, their fathers, have transgressed against me this very day, for they are impotent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you will say to them, Thus says the Lord. And as for them, when they hear, whether they hear or refuse, for they are rebellious, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them.'" And that's what God is just about to do with Samuel. The people don't know it yet, but they will soon know that there is a prophet among them. So God calls him, and Samuel says, "Here I am." But at the first call, Samuel doesn't realize it was the Lord. So we read, he ran to Eli. And he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not. I did not call you. Go and lie down again." And he went and he lay down. We notice that Samuel ran. I love that. He's keen to answer. He's keen to serve and meet the needs of this aging high priest. But he goes and tells him to lay down again because he was mistaken. We can also sometimes be mistaken. When God is speaking, we don't recognize it perhaps, or we attribute it to just say, "Well, that's just someone saying that," or whatever. "I don't know if that's for me." We may mistake it, and God is trying to speak to us, and we are hearing amiss, or perhaps the opposite, which maybe is even more dangerous. We think that God is speaking when it's really just a man. And we need to be discerning on both of those, and we need to prove it with prayer and time and counsel. We need to go and lie down again. I know, is it? Oh, go lie down again. Go lie down again. Maybe that's good counsel for someone who is too quick to say, "God spoke to me." Be careful with that. We will want to be wise and careful before the Lord and not presumptuous, but prove all things. Verse 6. And then the Lord called again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and he went to Eli. This is the second time. Here I am, for you called me. He answers, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Notice my son, the heart of this man towards this growing prophet. He calls him his son, maybe recognizing this is like another chance he's learned in his life. And he looks at this son and thinks about his sons. And he has a heart for Samuel. He tells him once again, go lie down, my son. Verse 7 gives us an insight. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. We remember Eli's sons never came to know the Lord. But at this point, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. This is a turning point in young Samuel's life, where he will come to know the Lord in a new and a fresh personal way, and the word of the Lord is going to be revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he rose and he went to Eli and he said, here I am, for you did call me. And then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. What a wonderful phrase and moment that is. Finally, he realizes, oh, this young man has a call on his life. I remember people telling me when I was young, I think God has a call on your life, and I could not hear it. I did not listen. I couldn't imagine. But in time, I came to believe it. You know what? I think God does have a call on my life. And I began to believe it and trust God for it. Verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. It doesn't say he went to sleep. I'm not sure he'd be able to sleep right then, but he went and he lay down anyway. And the Lord comes and calls him a fourth time. And here we are, verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. But notice here it says the Lord came and stood and called. I take that to mean there's an affirmation of God's very presence there. I don't know if he saw anything, but it says the Lord stood there and spoke. There was a real sense of God's presence and God's voice in that moment when God called him. And Samuel answered and said, speak, for your servant hears or listens. And that's a wonderful phrase, the response of a servant, a doulos, whose ear is circumcised or co-crucified, ready to hear and to listen what the Lord is ready to speak. This is in Psalm 40, a messianic psalm, in fact, that said, where the psalmist says in verse 6, my ears have you opened. And the Hebrew word there is to cut. It's a picture of being the ears being pierced. Cut as the ears of a servant ready to hear. Exodus 21, the doulos servant whose ear is pierced or cut, or we could say co-crucified, ready to, dead to self, ready to hear the will of the Lord. Verse 8, Psalm 40 says, I delight to do your will. What a wonderful response that is. Not only am I listening, but I am ready to do what you say. Well, don't you want to know what it is first? No. I'm just ready to hear, and I am ready to be your servant. And then, verse 11, then the Lord said to Samuel, wow, there it is. This is the first utterance of God to Samuel personally, where he is listening. God's going to give him a message. Oh, what's the message? Is it a wonderful message about, I can go and tell people how much you love them? That would be great for my first assignment as a prophet. But it wasn't. It was a message of judgment that he had to give. So he says, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. This is a heavy message that Samuel is sent to give. Something is going to happen in Israel that is going to seriously get the attention of his people. It's going to bring them back to the place where they sense their need for God. The reality of their calling as a people to the living God and response to him, and also to have an ear for the prophet. Now, It doesn't tell us exactly what is going to happen on that day. Now, you might say, well, it's the judgment of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and that's true. But I believe that happens on the day. But the more significant event that is going to really ring in the ears of the people, that's really going to shock the nation, that we read of in chapter 4, is that the Ark of the Covenant will be taken by the Philistines. Yes, Hophni and Phinehas also die on that day, and that would have been shocking. But more shocking to the people was the fact that the very Ark and the Ark of the Covenant would be taken by the Philistines. So, verse 12, he says, in that day I will perform. So in that day, and I take that to mean that day when that happens with the Philistines and the ark, I will also perform the word against Eli that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. You can take your own leaning on that, but I personally feel that the judgment, the more significant event is that the ark is taken. Eli already knows that his sons are going to be killed. He already knows judgment is coming. He's been told of that. Verse 13, it tells us, for I have told him I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. The word vile means to make light of, to treat with contempt, to bring dishonor. And therefore, verse 14, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of his house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Wow, that's a harsh conclusion to that statement, isn't it? It's done. Long suffering, warning, conviction, conscience, prophet, it's done. There is no turning now. Judgment is at the door. Verse 15, and so Samuel lay down until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. And you can understand that, can't you? He'd built a relationship with this man. He had honor towards him. He's got a message in his heart about judgment to Eli's house. He doesn't want to tell him. So verse 16, Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord has spoken to you? Please do not hide it from me. He obviously had a sense that something was said that's significant coming his way. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things he said to you. And here Eli is pronouncing an oath or a curse, even if you will, that if you don't tell me, you're gonna suffer the consequences of it. So that's enough for Honorable Samuel to say, okay, I'm coming clean. I'll tell you everything. Verse 18, Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. He accepted it well. He understood. Verse 19, another statement, there it is, another statement of Samuel's growth. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. We followed this journey carefully together of young Samuel, the prayer, the answer, the dedication, growing up in the house physically and also spiritually, now coming to know the Lord and hear from the Lord personally, being raised up as a prophet. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. This is an archery term, because if you fire the arrow at the target and it falls to the ground, it does not hit the target, it does not serve the purpose. And this says, none of his words failed, is the point. We read in Joshua 21:45, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There was not one failed word of all his good promises which he promised through his servant Moses. And this is the same principle. Not one word of promise or prophecy or judgment or anything that the prophet said failed, but it all came to pass. So now we see young Samuel, now as a man, fully functioning as a prophet in Israel, and all Israel clearly seeing that God has raised him up for the hour. This is a time for turning back to the Lord as a people. And it says in verse 20, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, this is the northernmost part to the southernmost part. In other words, just saying all, it was everywhere. They knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. And this is where we get to another place as we study these passages together. And our closing verses here, verse 21. And really, I feel that phrase in chapter 4 would fit better in chapter 3. So we have it there. It says, then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. So Yahweh, God, the Lord, continued to speak to Samuel, continued to personally reveal his purposes, his will, his warnings, his promises to his people. And Samuel, as a faithful prophet, would continue to his people. Now, today we do not have prophets that function in this way, that are bringing new revelation from the Lord. We need to be very careful and aware, any self-proclaimed prophets or apostles, be careful with that. We have a complete canon of inspired scripture. We believe that God speaks clearly and personally to us. God has given us his word, and by his spirit he teaches us. And we enjoy the process of preaching and learning with the word open in our life when we gather in his house. And I'll just close with that phrase there in 21. That the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. There is a blessing when we gather like nowhere else on earth, where the word is open, where the body of Christ, Ephesians 1:23, where the fullness of Christ is expressed, where his people are gathered. And we come with hearts where Hebrews 4:2, we mix faith with the word of God. James 1:21, we have meekness before the word of God. We are believers. We are exercising faith in the word of God. And God honors and blesses that process. He says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And there I command a blessing. So we gather in Shiloh, and God does reveal himself there by the word of the Lord. Amen. So, Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, really, we thank you with all our hearts for these opportunities, for be with like-minded brothers and sisters. And oh, we just, as the deer pants after the water brook, our soul thirsts for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. But here there is water, here there is living water that you minister to us. You quench the thirst of our soul. You minister life and truth to us. Thank you, God. Thank you for this place, this time, this word. These opportunities, bless it to our lives. We pray we would have that continued sense of your presence, your purpose, your guidance, your voice in our lives. We pray and thank you for it. And then we pray for perhaps there's someone here or listening online who is not yet a Christian, or you're not sure of your salvation. Oh, in this moment, look to Jesus, for he is the Savior. Look to him and say, Jesus, you are the Savior. Please save me today. I do not deserve it. I cannot earn it. I cannot pay for it. I understand I am a sinner. But I believe you came to save sinners. So save me today by grace, by mercy. Save me today through faith. I believe in you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And we all thank you for this time and these words. In Jesus' name, amen.